I don't know, adults particularly, I don't know what you're expecting. It's clear that the children have all opened all their presents. I don't know what you're expecting this Christmas as gifts, as presents. I wonder even if you're expecting any gifts or presents. But yesterday at Christingle service, I told the story of receiving a present that I was not happy with. It was pretty insulting. My mother-in-law bought me a bug catcher, saying that that's what she thought of me. It wasn't great. But I don't know if you've ever had that experience of opening a present and sort of asking yourself, I wonder what I'm meant to do with this. What is this? Why have they bought this for me? This wasn't on my list. I have a present here, as I said, which I've yet to open. It's very exciting. Big box. It's quite light. But, that would be a very sad present. Look. I got Jesus for Christmas. How exciting. Yeah, that's it. Just wrap it up. That's it. Thank you, Sammy. Do you want to put that away? Yeah. Thanks, Sammy. Oh, no. We'll pack it away. Thank you. Very good. What, Jesus for Christmas. I wonder what you think about that as a present. I mean, it's not a bike. It's not a scooter or a remote control car. Jesus, when he came, probably couldn't be thrown around lots. Couldn't be, put batteries in him. Well, he could put batteries in him, but it would be quite painful. Jesus, he was just a baby which demanded cleaning and feeding, sleep, and then he'd wake up and he would cry and we'd have to sort him out. And imagine Mary and Joseph in a strange land being registered, receiving this gift that was given to them, a baby. And babies are cute, but they are in a stable or in rough environments. Is it really what they needed on that Christmas Day morning? And then you got the shepherds out in the field, probably struggling with the usual day-to-day stuff, but particularly at this time, they would have been under a lot of pressure, particularly with lots of people coming into the town, and therefore wanting sacrificial worship, of which they were the custodians of the sheep and the lambs that would be. So there would be a lot of pressure to look after every single one of their lambs and sheep. And then this vision appears to them and says to them, leave all of that, leave your livelihood, leave all of this well-earned sheep, which is going to cost you, which is going to pay you a lot of money, leave that and go to some ramshackle shed and find a baby. It's a gift for you. I wonder if they would go, actually, I'm going to just look after my sheep, thanks. What kind of a gift is Jesus? What is a gift of a child, a baby, when actually what Israel were waiting for was a savior, was someone to come and sort out all of the mess, politically, religiously, spiritually. They wanted someone to come in and sort out the mess. And all they get is a baby who creates more mess. What kind of a present is a baby? This is something I've been thinking about for the last couple of days. I don't know what you are yearning for at Christmas. And I wonder whether or not a baby comes anywhere close to solving any of those desires. For me, it does. Losing Sarah. Today was always going to be a bit of a tough one for me. But actually, do you know what? I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right because Jesus is with me. But he's not with me as a man coming along and solving my problems or even someone with the right ideas or the right way of thinking. Or he doesn't do any of that. He just is there for me to attend to. Gives me a job to do, a simple job of looking out for him. He invites me into a relationship with him. I don't know if any of you have ever held a little baby, but it's hypnotic. You just invest in that moment if they're not screaming. I had the joy of holding two babies over Advent. Two significant moments with children over Advent. One of them was with my new niece, Isla Rose. She was born the beginning of December, just near the end of November. Isla Rose Sarah Lunn is her name. And I went down and I held her, and she was 4 days old. And my brother was just so proud. Proud of his wife, proud of his little baby. And for once, my brother was being responsible. He has never been responsible. And seeing him sorting out, looking after his wife, getting the food ready, getting the milk ready, getting everything sorted, knowing the routine, writing in his phone. He's got this new app which tells us when the baby's fed and pooped and washed and all that sort of stuff. And he's just got it. And he's holding his baby and he goes, shh. As I come in, he goes, shh. She's sleeping. And I said, I can see that. And he said, would you like to hold her? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And he handed it. He went, hold the head, mate. I went, I have held babies before, Nat. And he went, yeah, but this one's special. And I said, yes, she is very special. And I held her for about 15 minutes. And there was lots of noise going on in the living room as my mum and brother chatted, and there was a film on. And so I just went in to a dark room and just stood. And the light from the door just shone on her face. And I'd been having such a busy and stressful time. I was missing Sarah. I was, you know, all up in turmoil and all that sort of stuff. And for just a moment, this baby demanded my attention, and all the world faded. And I could have stood there forever. Second significant moment, I hold this baby quite a lot. It's Amos, who's one of our congregation. Amos has been very poorly at the moment and was just snotty and rashy and all sorts. And Bess, his mum, was just knackered, just absolutely shattered, and needed some sleep and needed to get some jobs done. So I found the time to just pop over and say, I'm going to sort Amos out. You get on with whatever you need to do and sleep. And she said, he just won't go to sleep. He just won't go to sleep. Now, me and Amos have an agreement that when I rock him to sleep, he goes to sleep. And he usually does like that. This time, he was really grouchy, and I was thinking, this is going to be a cinch. He's going to be out like the lights just in any moment now. So I'm there doing my usual technique of swinging. This technique is very good with Amos. And then you just go, shh, like this. And Amos is just going to grouch. And then he just stopped and looked up at me, as he usually does. And I'm going, shh, like this. And he does this big beam, and he starts to laugh. And I said, now, come on, Amos, it's time for a nap. You need a sleep. Come on. Shh, he laughs, and he's kind of wiggling. And I was like, oh, come on, Amos, come on, you can do this. Come on, do this. And I have been trying. I thought he was saying it then, sorry. I have been trying to get Amos to say Ned for about a year, and he's not saying it. So I'm rocking him, going, shh, shh, and it's going, this is taking too long, this is taking too long, my arms are getting very, very heavy, shh, and he's laughing away, and I'm going, shh, come on, Amos, come on, you can do this, you can do it. And I just kind of stopped and was like, okay, maybe he doesn't want to go to sleep. And he just looked up at me and he went, Ned. And I just went, oh, don't go to sleep. Please don't go to sleep. Say it again. Say it again. What use is a child to us when all the world is in a mess? When we're being asked for more and more, when we are busy, when we've got too much to do, when the stresses of the world come in to us. What kind of a gift is a child? It is one that lets the world fade away, one that looks at us, calls out our name, and makes everything all right for a moment. God has got the time. Have you? Have you got the time this Christmas just to spend some time attending to this gift of Jesus this Christmas?